Good day and welcome to the show. I'm Maggie Linton. Did you see the idiots on TV last night? I'm just wondering. Anyway, it's Friday and I'm ready for the weekend. On this day in 1789, the first U.S. Constitution took effect. In 1837, the Weekly Advocate changed its name to The Colored American. And in 1902, AAA, that's the American Automobile Association, was formed in Chicago. Later this hour, we'll chat with Kim Stebbings, U.S. President of Diocese Medical. She'll discuss advances in stopping cervical cancer. But we begin with our good friend and regular on the show, travel and baseball man Dan Schlossberg. He shines brightly as he comes on to talk about his new book, a must-have for all Atlanta Braves fans and baseball fans in general. It is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta. The foreword is by Hall of Fame and longtime Braves manager Bobby Cox. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Maggie. Great to be with you again.
Well, it is wonderful to have you on, and what a joyous book. Even if you're not a Braves fan, you've got to read this book. You've done a wonderful job with this.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. And I really, you know, people ask me, is this a regional book? And I say, not at all. It's a book for people who love baseball history. And this record of 14 consecutive titles, it's like the Cal Ripken equivalent for a team. You know, no team is ever going to do that, and no team is ever going to break Cal Ripken's record either.
Now, that's probably very true. In fact, not even probably, that's true. Because, well, in so many cases, there's so many players that are like part of a chess set. They're in and out and in and out and in and out. But the Braves, for the most part, kept their core group together the whole time.
Pretty much. Those three Hall of Fame pitchers, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, and John Smoltz, were together for a decade. And no trio of pitchers in baseball history who have been teammates for that long ever reached the Hall of Fame simultaneously.
Yeah, they haven't. And look at the number of Hall of Famers that have come out of that, too.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Cox, the manager in the Hall of Fame. In 2018, the first year he becomes eligible, no doubt Chipper Jones is going to go in the Hall of Fame. And I think that Andrew Jones might follow him someday, and John Chirault as well. So you got a lot of people from that team.
Well, let's talk about the I think we should really probably start with John Chirault. And even before that, let's talk about how you got tuned into the Braves.
It's really a funny story, Maggie. In 1957, when I was 9 years old, the Dodgers and Giants played in New York. They were both leaving for California, so I figured I'm not going to root for those teams. All my friends rooted for the Yankees, but the Milwaukee Braves beat them in the World Series that year. That was a team of Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Warren Spahn, and Lou Burdett. And I figured, okay, the Braves are the best team, and I've stuck with them ever since.
Well, they have been an amazing team over the years. By the way, folks, I should tell you, and you can start calling, but you got to have questions. Dan's publisher sent me 8 books. One I'm keeping, so when I finally see Dan face to face, I can get it signed. And the other 7 are for giveaway. So if you're interested, have a question. I know there's got to be many Braves fans out there. The number is 866-801-8255. Once again, 866-801-8255. John Chirault, I've always liked him. I've actually met him. And to see that he came from the Kansas City organization to Atlanta and really found his home there, didn't he?
He definitely did. In fact, he was the first general manager to win world championships in both leagues. He won it with the 85 Royals, and then 10 years later with the 95 Braves. And that, to me, that's a Hall of Fame accomplishment right there.
Oh, definitely. The fact that he and Cox, in a sense, he replaced Bobby Cox, who was kind of wearing double hats.
That's true. In 1990, Bobby Cox was the general manager of the Braves, but in June, the team was really not doing well. Russ Nixon was the manager, and so Bobby Cox basically vetoed Nixon and came down himself to be manager and general manager, but that's way too much for one person to handle. So at the end of the year, Stan Kasten, who was the team president, hired John Chirault away from Kansas City, stunning the baseball world, by the way, and John said, I love Bobby Cox. I would like to have him stay on as manager. And they formed a great tandem. And they were together for that whole 14-year streak, which is kind of amazing in itself.
Yeah, it definitely is amazing within itself. And when you, Bobby Cox, because you've known him for so long, the forward is beautifully done.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Bobby Cox, or Robert Joe Cox.
I love Bobby Cox. As you said, I've known him for a long time. He was hired actually twice by Ted Turner when Ted owned the Braves. The first time was when the Braves were really the bad news Braves. It was kind of in the 70s. The team really was a bunch of misfits, guys that couldn't catch the ball, guys who were over the hill or never would be on the hill. And so he was hired as a manager, and the team didn't do that well. And in 1981, Ted Turner had a chance to hire somebody named Joe Torre. And so he fired Bobby Cox and hired Joe Torre to manage the Braves. And the team immediately won. That was in 1982. They won their first division title since 1969. They won in 82 under Joe Torre. And Bobby Cox was a very wanted manager, very well respected. So he went to Toronto, and he won with the Toronto Blue Jays. So altogether, if you look at Bobby's resume, he won 15 divisional titles, not just the 14 in a row he won with the Braves.
Yeah, he was an amazing manager and a really nice guy, too.
Super guy. And when I said to him, you know, would you write the foreword, he said, interview me, put it together in my words, let me see it. And I did that, and he looked at it, he said, I'm not changing a word, it's great just the way it is.
All right, there you have it. We've got a call from Will in Atlanta. You're talking with Dan Schlossberg. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Will.
I'm interested in finding out what was the actual inspiration on you deciding to write the book about the Braves. And I moved to Atlanta in the late 90s, right before 2000s, and was not really a baseball fan until I got to Atlanta and have enjoyed following the Braves and become a baseball fanatic since then.
Well, I've been a fan, as I mentioned, since 1957. I loved Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews. And in fact, I want to mention right here, they hold the record for the most home runs by teammates, which I think is a very overlooked record. They hit 863 home runs together as teammates. And Warren Spahn and Lou Burdette, what a great 1-2 pitching tandem for the old Milwaukee Braves. And then the Atlanta Braves, once they started this streak, I mean, what a streak. The Braves were bad. They're the bad news Braves. After 82, they were bad for the rest of the 80s, really a bad team, and it was almost embarrassing to even wear a Braves hat in public. But I'll tell you, once John Schuerholz came along and he signed those 7 free agents, many of whom were defensive players, all of a sudden the infielders could catch, the outfielders could catch, and the pitchers, those young pitchers, Glavin and Smoltz, they became really good, and that's why the Braves started to win. In fact, excuse me, Maggie, this is the 25th anniversary of the 1991 team that started the streak, so it's an important year, and that's why this book came out now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Once again, we're talking with Dan Schlossberg. He's our travel guy and also a baseball man. And his new book is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta. Will, anything else? You can hang on. Tony will get your address and we will send you a book.
I would love to get a copy of the book.
All right. Like I said, Dan's... Dan's publisher, when those 8 books arrived, Dan, I was surprised. I was really surprised, but very happy.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. We've got a call from Tony in Atlanta. Good morning, Tony. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I'm a diehard Braves fan. Man, I can go back to the days of being Otis Nixon, Deion Sanders, you know, in that era. And I do remember the game they played, the Yankees. It was here in Atlanta. And he hung that pitch out. Tim Larry hit that home run. We was up, I think, 3-2 in that World Series. And, I mean, I hang on to that game to this day.
Yeah, that was the turning point of the World Series when Woolworth came in. I was kind of surprised.
We could have had 2 World Series back-to-back.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Bobby put Woolworth in the 8th inning in that game. He had previously been used as a closer only in the 9th inning. And when he came in, it was a 6-3 lead that he was trying to protect.
And he threw a changeup, and his pitch was only the fastball, the 101-mile-an-hour fastball, and he threw a changeup.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And that was the turning point. That was a 3-run homer. That tied that game. The Braves had led 6-0, and they would have gone up, you know, 3 games to 2. And that was difficult.
Yes, man. I just love those days of the Braves, man. I'm hungry. I'm just thirsting for it to come back.
Well, I was going to say, we don't know if they're ever going to come back, but, you know, they're out there battling every single time. And if you hang on, we'll also get you a book, too.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And Tony will be with you in just a moment. Well, the one person that we talked about, Bobby Cox, but we also have to talk about Leo Mazzoni.
Leo Mazzoni, one of my favorite people I've ever met. First of all, let me just say, when I interviewed Leo for this book, he used the F word more often than Tony Soprano, which I thought was hilarious. And I left it in. I really debated, am I going to leave this in or take it out? Because, you know, kids are going to be reading this book too. And I left it in because that really shows his character. But I loved interviewing him. I couldn't even get him off the phone. He gave me so much information, so many anecdotes, so many stories that I didn't know. And I'll share one of them with you really briefly. There was a game, you know, managers or coaches are only allowed two visits to the mound per inning. Well, there was a game Steve Avery was pitching, and he got into trouble early in the inning, and Bobby Cox went out to talk to him, and then he came back. And then later in the same inning, Steve was, you know, still pitching, and it looked like the other team was starting to rally. So Leo thought he detected an injury in Avery, but he neglected to tell the umpire he was making an injury visit, which wouldn't have counted against the two visits. So he ran out, and the umpire said, "Who are you bringing in?" And Mazzoni said, "We're not bringing in anybody. Nobody's warming up." And so the umpire said, "You got to bring in somebody. This is your second visit." So Bobby came out and talked to Leo, and he said, "Who could we bring in without warming up?" So Leo thought for a second. He said, "You know, Mike Stanton would be pretty good. He can handle this." So they brought in Mike Stanton, and he pitched. He made one pitch, and the other team had the bases loaded and two outs at this time. Close game, one-run game. He made one pitch. The batter hit a scorching liner, but the second baseman snared it. And so they got out of the jam, and they won the game. And here's the kicker. They won the division by one game that year. That was 1991. They won by one game. And this was because Mike Stanton was able to hold a lead without warming up.
Isn't that amazing? Those are the kind of wonderful jewels that you have here, and so many others. And you really talked to so many of the old Braves players, didn't you?
I did. And it's really fortunate. I go to spring training with the Braves every year, have been there since 1971. And I know a lot of these guys quite well. I also do a radio show called Braves Banter once a week and interview a lot of these people. So all that helps. Plus, I read every book ever written on the Braves. And a lot of them help me with inspiration and stories and talking to other writers and covering World Series. All these places, and the winter meetings especially, you really pick up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We've got a call from Bob in Alabama. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. Just enjoying this segment of the show. I was content to just listen, but when you start talking Braves, my ears perk up. I can remember listening to like 158 games a year with my daddy, Braves baseball, and him pulling the earbuds out of my ear at some point during the night when they visited the West Coast to play San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, and Raph Gar and Hank Aaron and all those guys. So just a refreshing show. I love the Braves, always have, and it's one way I still commune with my dad today. Of course, he's been deceased now for about 8 years, but just love the Braves.
Well, great. You're going to get one of Dan's books. It is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14
yes.
Flags Over Atlanta. So just
yes.
hang on, and Tony will get your address.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. One of the things I love about this book, Dan, is how you literally broke it down season by season. The finishes, the important players that were throughout, and you really took the time to put it together.
Well, one of the reasons I did that, Maggie, was this is the only book on the subject. I was so amazed when I proposed doing this book to my publisher that no other book has ever documented that 14-year streak. And that's such a significant record to me. Why did nobody else ever do it? So I said, you know what? I'm going to fill that void. I'm going to do it. And you're right. There's a whole section year by year, 91 right through 2005. And there's also another section of the book that's about the big personalities like Bobby Cox, Schuerholz, the pitchers, and, of course, the MVPs, Terry Pendleton and Chipper Jones.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about, Terry Pendleton and Chipper Jones. Let's just talk about them and what special players they were to those teams.
Well, let's start with Terry, because when they signed him, at the end of the 1990 season, actually the offseason 1990-91, they signed Terry. He had hit .230 with six home runs for the St. Louis Cardinals, and the prevailing sentiment around baseball was this guy is through. Well, Bobby Cox and John Schuerholz told me that they accounted for the St. Louis ballpark being a big ballpark, and they said over 20 of his fly balls would have been home runs in Atlanta. And apparently they were right, because they signed him. Not only did he win the batting crown with the Braves, he hit over 20 home runs, and he beat Barry Bonds for the MVP award in 1991, and he had a better year in 1992 when he probably should have won the MVP again. So that was an incredible signing. Plus, the defense he provided at third base made a world of difference, and his leadership. Terry's a great guy, and he's still a coach with the Braves, and my prediction is he's going to be the next manager of the Braves.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. You heard it here first.
All right. You know, I mean, when you say St. Louis, I always think about the 85 World Series that he played in, too.
Oh, he was a big star for the Cardinals and a real Mets killer, too, in 87 also.
Yeah, he was the king of that. We've got a call from Jonathan in El Paso. Good morning, Jonathan. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good morning. How you doing, Ms. Lynn?
I'm doing great. Obviously, you're a Braves fan, huh?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from Savannah, Georgia, and but I live in El Paso, Texas, because my wife is in the military, and my family has been a Braves fan for years. I can remember as a kid, my mother and father and us, we just gathered and we just watched the Braves, like when they were in the World Series and when it was division games, and I can still hear my mom now just kind of yelling at the TV. You know, wondering what Mr. Cox is doing as far as, like, with some of the decisions he was making. But she was still, you know, avid Braves fan. And I'm a card collector, and I can remember as a kid just collecting a lot of Braves cards and just, like, different players like that were really my favorite players. Like, I have, like, Tom Glavine and John Smoltz, and I have their rookie cards and stuff, like Greg Maddux's rookie cards when he played with the Cubs, so... I really like the Braves, but what my question is to the author is, it just seemed like over the past couple of years, the Braves organization has really traded away a lot of their good players that could have gotten to where they need to be. So what's kind of like the situation with that, or who's making, as far as like making decisions on trading away some of the good players?
I can answer that, Maggie.
Yeah, well, and you better, because I sure can't. Go ahead. Well, we're talking with Dan Schlossberg. Go ahead, Dan.
The Braves basically changed a lot in their front office. John Hart came over, and also John Capuella became the new general manager. Bobby Cox is still there as an advisor. The problem is some of the contracts were running out. Jason Hayward and Justin Upton, both of their contracts were running out. So a year before they would have become eligible for free agency, the Braves traded them to try to rebuild their farm system, which had been hurting. It was one of the worst farm systems, and now it's rated the best farm system. So within the next year or two or three, the Braves are going to have a very good young team and really going to make noise in the National League East. They're moving into a new ballpark next year, SunTrust Stadium, and they hope to be a contending team by then, and hopefully a championship team within a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to one of the games before they tear down Turner Field.
Yeah, Turner Field's a nice field. You know, and I think about how cable TV also helped them explode into becoming, as we used to call it, America's team.
You know? And that's why you have Braves fans everywhere.
Everywhere.
Maggie. Every state.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially here in El Paso, Texas. You wouldn't believe how many Braves fans are out here.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, hang on, Jonathan, and we'll give you a book, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Super. Thank you very much. Once again, folks, we are talking with baseball man Dan Schlossberg. He also does travel here on this channel, at least for me. His outstanding new book is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta. We've got a call from Max in Georgia, and you're going to ask about someone who helped take them from worst to first. Go right ahead, Max.
Yes. Good morning, Sheila. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I was calling in reference to if you could talk about Dave Justice, who was a player that probably tipped Atlanta Braves to the championship. And I don't know whether he gets a lot of credit that he should. And then also, could you speak on the status of baseball? You know, once upon a time, it was America's
pastime, and it was the sport in America. And now, unfortunately, it seems like, you know, basketball, football has sort of overtaken it. And what your thoughts in terms of what it can do to rally to become back to what its great past was?
Very good question, but I'll start with the David Justice one first. I was a big fan of David Justice. I still am. In 1995, during the World Series, he really rallied the team and the fans in that last game because he made a comment. He was quoted in the Atlanta Constitution as saying the Atlanta fans aren't cheering us enough. They don't support us enough. And he basically was booed by the Atlanta fans before and during Game 6 until he hit a big solo home run against Jim Poole of the Cleveland Indians. That was the only run of the game. The Braves won that game 1-0, and they won the World Series because of that win. That was Tom Glavine's combined one hitter with Mark Wohlers. And David Justice, what a factor he was. And he was a great player for the Braves, one of the very few Braves during the whole streak who had a 40-homer season. He had 120 RBIs one year, too. Great player. And the Braves probably would have won the 1996 World Series, except David Justice got injured in May, a shoulder injury that kept him out the rest of the way. And without David Justice, they just couldn't hang on and beat the Yankees in 96. So David Justice, certainly a great player. I'm glad you brought it up. By the way, one of two Braves to marry movie stars during the streak. The other one, well, he married Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And Ted Turner married Jane Fonda during the streak. And oddly, Jane Fonda and Ted's wedding occurred on the exact same day the Soviet Union collapsed. So there was no publicity about the wedding. But let me answer the baseball question about national sport. To me, baseball still is America's national pastime and probably will always be. Unfortunately, the game has made a few changes that I think have weakened it. And I'm a traditionalist. I like the way the game used to be played. No designated hitter, no interleague play. All-star game during the day, more World Series games during the day, and start the games earlier. When you start the game so late, the fans of tomorrow cannot stay up to see the end of the game. That's a big negative.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Dan, on all of those. You know, interleague play, that's what the All-Star game is all about.
Anyway, and the World Series.
And the World Series. That's it. That shouldn't be. I agree with you 100%. Listen, Max, hang on. We're going to get you a book also. So we've got one more call from Howard in Texas. Good morning, Howard. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I just wanted to say I grew up with the Gwynns, Tony Gwynn and Chris Gwynn. And the love that we grew up with, having the love of baseball like we did, it seems that type of love for the game isn't as strong as it once was back years ago.
Well, in answer to that, Chipper Jones opted to spend his entire career with the Braves because he loved the Braves and he wanted to stay there. He sacrificed a huge amount, millions of dollars, that he could have had he entered free agency. He spent his entire career with the Braves, just as Tony Gwynn spent his entire career with the Padres. So I think that's a pretty good parallel.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just to talk to us. Don't pay attention to your radio. If you've got anything else to say, Howard.
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, I just miss that feeling that you used to get for the game, you know.
Uh-huh.
You're taking your kids to the game, and, you know, it's just not there anymore. It's like the teams the players and free agency and all that type of thing just seems to have robbed the sport of the love that it used to have, that we used to hold there.
Yeah, we don't have a chance to love our players who stay with the team for their whole careers anymore. But listen, thank you for your call, Howard. Hang on. We're going to get you a book also. And Dan, I guess you're getting ready to it's spring. It's ready to go. You've already been down for the spring, part of the spring training, haven't you?
Not yet. I'm leaving on Monday.
Okay.
Leaving on Monday and signing books at Champion Stadium at Disney on Tuesday. So that should be a lot of fun. And I'm also going to be at the Yogi Berra Museum coming up. That's on their website. And Bookends in Ridgewood, that's coming up. That's in New Jersey. And Bergino's Baseball Clubhouse on June 23rd. So a lot of stuff coming up. And you fans in Atlanta, I'll be there signing books at the Braves Museum on June 11th, Saturday, June 11th. So would love to say hello and meet you personally.
Yeah, but they can go to your website and find your schedule, can't they?
Yes, they can.
All right. There you have it, folks. It is Travel and Baseball Man, Dan Schlossberg. What is this, 37th book?
Yes, it is.
He knows a little bit about it. His outstanding new book is When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta. It's available at Amazon.com, other locations. But check Dan's website. It's really full of lots of information. It is danschlossberg.net. He's also on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, he's Braves One. Coming up, the latest research on cervical cancer. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Stories that inspire you. You are listening to The Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM Urban View.